Amen. So praise God. We already had two wonderful messages before I get to share. So that was a practice run, kind of warm-up exercise for our family. So it is great to see you all today. Some visitors are here. It's great. By the way, my name is Young, but I just want to give some reference to what happened right now as we're getting ready. So I want to read, you know this verse, Romans chapter 12, verse 2. No, sorry, 1. Actually, I meant, therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is spiritual service of worship. So it is the emotion that God gives when we encounter music, and that worship was amazing. Sunmi was kind of crying a little bit because the presence of God was really strong. As with the violin, that God gives us that emotion. Don't forget, the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love, joy, and peace. There's that emotion of God that comes and overwhelms us. I'm not saying we're driven by emotion, but emotion often is the byproduct of what? Presence of the Lord in the house. And why don't you just shake your head, legs a little bit? Okay, wait, stand up and just shake your legs. Maybe say hello. We'll give you like 2-3 minutes. Say hello to your immediate neighbors. Come on, we can stretch. This is the day. Amen. All right. Praise God. Okay, everyone. Thank you all. Please find your way back to your seats. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. As our pastor or our brother Chuck has shared, if you need to go, if you must go, please don't feel pressured to stay. But I do have some message that is really important for the hour that we're in. I do understand that we're now engaged in many different battles in our lives in various areas. And I do believe that what God wants is what he always wanted for us from the beginning of time, especially 2,000 years ago on the day of Pentecost. Amen. Amen. One person. Amen. Great. So I have a quick recap of what happened last week. I shared the Holy Spirit. We talked about Holy Spirit is what? God himself. And he is to be worthy. He is worthy to be praised and worshiped. And we should love Holy Spirit. And we talked about that. We talked about Holy Spirit is God. Holy Spirit is the helper and comforter. Holy Spirit is also teacher, teaches us all things. And he is the Spirit of truth. That's very important. In the world that's filled with disinformation and misinformation and lies, and we only get the information that are fed to us, especially, I had that conversation on the way here, especially because of the internet and media, most of us consume what is happening in the world through the internet. And we know that it can't easily be controlled. And we are easily fed whatever that they want us to consume. So we need the Holy Spirit more than ever for us to stand, because truth is required for us to continue to walk in freedom in Christ that he paid for. Amen? Amen. Amen. Great. So the next is, who and why do we need the Holy Spirit? It's us. We need the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit is, especially the baptism, it's not for non-Christians. God gave Jesus Christ to the world as a gift, that whosoever believes in him and repent, and they shall be born again into the body of Christ. And he gave now, what's next for the Christians only? Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And today is that, 2,000 plus years ago. And I want to simplify. I thought about, how shall I approach this? Shall I break it down theologically and speak about all these different things? And I realized, no, that's not the way it worked. The first century church only talked about what Jesus said. Go and wait in Jerusalem, and you shall receive power. That's it. We find all these doctrinal variants after we receive it, not before. Even receiving Jesus as the Lord and Savior, he said, come like a little child. We're supposed to receive with simplicity of the heart. And we get to find out how deep and wide that is afterward. But so, because Jesus said, make disciples. Christian, born again first, then you learn the way of the Lord first. But so many of us want to learn the way of the Lord before we receive Jesus. including the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I believe the baptism of the Holy Spirit happened in Book of Acts chapter 2 is exactly the same way as the salvation. We don't have to know a lot. You just simply believe that God wants you to have it. That's it. That is it. So remember I talked about at the end of my message that we have three harness for our safety because we're right now, we're almost like a Christian life is like jumping off the plane, right, to your destination. And you need a three harness. First one I share is the relationship with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We need the abiding presence. We need to practice the presence of God. However we engage, whether that is worship, meditation, contemplation, whatever that might be, we do that. Second thing is what? We need community. We need community. We need each other. We need safety of the community to bring correction, bring teaching and discipleship and encouragement and walk together. And what is the third? I believe third is what really separates the church from the previous covenant to the new. It is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It's not coming in when you're saved. It is on you, because it talks about in the book of Acts, coming upon them every single time there's the baptism of the Holy Spirit. If it was not important, Jesus would not have said, wait. He said, wait until the power, the dunamis, dynamite power, comes upon you. And often in the book of Acts, they saw it. Nobody can see the Holy Spirit coming upon you, and there's a tangible evidence of what that looks like. And we know in the book of, Samaria, when Philip had a revival right after the persecution broke out, they were all Christians. They were all Christians. The demons left. They were healed. They were set free. They all accepted Jesus Christ as the Lord. They got baptized in the water. And Peter, that's right, Peter and John, they heard about it, and they came down to Samaria, and they asked, have you been baptized in the Holy Spirit? And they said, no. So we know by that evidence, becoming born again and receiving the baptism can happen at the same time, but it's not the one thing. It's two different things. And when they lay hands on them, they got baptized, but it's visible to the point where Simon the sorcerer wanted to buy the gift. And I believe that visibility is praying in the Holy Spirit. And many times, I'm going to talk about a few more instances of that. So let's just open up with the scripture. So today we're going to talk about that. And let's go with Book of Acts chapter 1, verse 4 through 5. Let's read together. Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Okay, let's move on to Acts chapter 1:8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witness in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Okay, let us pray. Holy Spirit, we honor you in this place. Holy Spirit, we are so grateful that you are with us. We do understand there's that indwelling of the Spirit, and there's also spirits coming upon us by your word. Holy Spirit, we complicate it way too much in the Western Hemisphere about this book of Acts. But you desire for us to simply just believe, because Jesus said, you will receive. Father, use me as an instrument of righteousness to speak the truth. Father, open all our hearts towards you. Father, we pray anything that is misaligned according to your will, let it be exposed and let it be discarded today. Father, we ask greater measure of freedom by the unction and a power of the Holy Spirit. Father, these times that we're living in, without the Holy Spirit to break the yoke and the bondage and the lie of the enemy, without the power manifesting to see the captive set free, to see the sickness being cast away, to see the dead being rise. Just like the old covenant and the new, the people will mock. Just like the Greek mocked Paul about his word. The gospel, without the demonstration of the power, it's just another nice story among many other religions, as it was in Roman Empire. But you have chosen not to leave us with just word, but you have chosen to give us the power to break the yoke and to set the captives free. Father, we thank you for the power that is with us. Thank you for the power to speak the truth. Thank you for the power for us to live the life that you called us to live. It is impossible, Lord, without the Holy Spirit to be the body of Christ properly functioning as you will. But we have that. And some of us who have yet to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, Father, we ask that you will baptize us today in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. 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 So let's go to the next incredible verse in Book of Acts. Let's read together. When the day of Pentecost has come, they were all together in one place, and suddenly there came from heaven a noise like a violent rushing wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting, and there appeared to them tongues as of fire distributing themselves, and they rested on each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit was giving them utterance. Okay, let's move on to the next one. We know this first one happened during the day of Pentecost, which means the 50th day after the resurrection of Jesus. We know Jesus was with them for 40 days, and for 10 days, they stayed and they prayed. Remember the 10 days. 10 days is very important. That's going to be happening when we have another modern day revival that we see the tongues moving. So 40 days he was with us, and 10 days after. But did you know, according to historian, we had either 400 to 500 people that saw Jesus going back to heaven, but only 120 remained. Imagine this, even after Jesus, to you, like in my face, let's say that was me, he came, I saw him, I touched him, I saw the holes, the scars, he ate to prove that he was not a ghost, and he dwelled with me for 40 days, eating and teaching and doing all things, and I see him going up to heaven, and I suddenly angel appeared to me and tell me, what are you doing? He's coming back the way he went. Do what he tell you, listen to him. And what do? I turn around, I go back to work. I don't wait for Jesus. Imagine that. That's how hard it is for a person to obey God. 280 people or 380 people is way more than half. Imagine that. Holy Spirit is that important. I'm sure God gave grace and a lot of them came back and they probably got baptized afterward. But this was the divine Kairos moment that they missed out. So we know that the plan of the Lord, in a big picture, if we don't join him, it still moves forward. He does not wait for an individual. He still gives grace. He still gives mercy. And we may receive his plan individually, may or may not. But his bigger picture will continue on. And with the Holy Spirit, we can always be in line with God. Amen? Amen. So the next one is this. Peter was praying and Holy Spirit told him to go to Gentiles without that picture of eating all this food that was not kosher. Peter would not have went to the Gentiles. So this is what happened. While Peter was still speaking these words, the gospel, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who were listening to the message. All the circumcised believers who came with Peter were amazed because the gift of the Holy Spirit, it's a singular, the gift of the Holy Spirit has been poured out on the Gentiles also, for they were hearing them, what? How were they recognizing they got baptized in the Holy Spirit? Speaking with tongues and exalting God. This is a very challenging fight in the Western world. I was sharing with one of the brothers that came on Friday, the Young Adults Discipleship. Underground church, some of you read this book, A Heavenly Man by Brother Yoon. We know that underground church, they were all praying in tongues, majority, if not all, because they believed Book of Acts to be true. They literally believed that you can do all the miracle. They literally believed that you can pray in the tongue. They were all united. But they were no longer united. Guess what happened? When they received doctrinal book from Western church who meant good, but begin to divide the church. That's the reality. He talks about that in his book. Because what we believe, we receive. What we do not believe, we cannot receive. That's the reality. We call that faith. I'm not trying to condemn anybody. My heart is not to condemn, but my heart is to encourage. I'm going to talk about many instances, including our personal testimony of the Holy Spirit and the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It is for my own good. It is for your own personal good. It doesn't do anybody else any good by praying in the personal tongue. It's not for you. It's for me. It's for me. It's not for the ministering to the other people. That is the power gifts, 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit. It's not administration gift. I'm going to talk about them more on next teaching, but let's move forward. I just want to share with you, this is so, so, so important. Okay, I want to talk about Azusa Street Revival. Some of you know this, right? Azusa Street Revival. So this happened in 1906. And I want to share with you some of the story. May or may not, some of you heard about this. Until that movement happened, close things to revival was holiness movement. Some of you know this holiness movement that is still going around. And a lot of people were part of the holiness movement. And one of the things came out of the holiness movement, especially from UK, was healing rooms. People were going to this house or places that they would stay, and they would be prayed upon day in and day out. They would be receiving healing. That was healing rooms. And what did they believe? They did not believe in manifestation as in tongues, but they believed in inner holiness and love. They believed change conduct. And they believe assurance of the inner witness when they receive the Holy Spirit. But people wanted more. They wanted more. Some people had audacity to believe Book of Acts chapter 2. They believe that can be true. But up until then, they had very fragmented. We can see the archive of all the Christian event. There was only fragmented group of people, very small, that was baptized in the Holy Spirit, that were praying the tongue. William J. Seymour, he's the leader in this picture. And on the among the group photo, they were actually leaders. Let me repeat that. They were leaders of the revival. And you may notice that's not a small person. That little girl was part of the leadership, believe it or not. That's crazy, right? That little girl, teenage girl, was part of the leadership. And even in the times of segregation, you had women and men of color part of the leadership of the revival. That's always been the plan of the Lord. Amen. So let me share some background. In 1905, William J. Seymour, the one-eyed, he had a one-eye blind because he suffered, it was like some kind of cold or something, and his eye, I forgot the disease. He had a disease and made one of his eye blind. Imagine that back then. Like you're a son of the slave owner, a slave, and it's a segregation, and he was not even allowed to be in the seminary. He was seminary students. He was only hearing the lectures through the cracked door that was open. That was the time. And black person, one eye blind, a minister of the gospel, was a student of the well-known Pentecostal preacher Charles Farum and an interim pastor for a small holiness church in Houston, Texas. So they actually had a touch of the Holy Spirit. The campus had a little revival where Farum was teaching about, he was beginning to lecturing to his students that the evidence of being baptized in the Holy Spirit, the outward evidence, one of the most obvious one, was the praying in the Holy Spirit. And they saw a few people getting baptized in the Holy Spirit then. Then he left that campus for various other reasons. One was he was invited to be a leader in a church, but they want to hear him preach first. So Seymour, then that was LA. So Seymour arrived in LA on February 22nd, 1906. 1906. And within 2 days, he was preaching at Julia Hutchins' church at the corner of 9th Street and Santa Fe Avenue during his first sermon. He preached that speaking in tongues was the first biblical evidence of the inevitable baptism in the Holy Spirit. On the following Sunday, March 4th, he returned to the church and found that Hutchins had padlocked the door. Elders of the church rejected Seymour's teaching, primarily because he had not yet experienced the blessing about which he was preaching. So he was not even baptized yet. He was not even praying yet, but he was preaching by faith. Yeah, isn't that amazing? So what happened was they decided to gather at Ashbury home. These white couple named Ash, last name Ashbury, it's not an Azusa Street revival. It didn't begin as a revival of the big warehouse. They actually began as a small house group of praying together for the Holy Spirit. And what happened was they decided to pray for 10 days fasting, believing for more of God, because they were dissatisfied with the status quo. They were dissatisfied that they were lacking something to influence the believers. So they were praying for 10 days, they were fasting. And every other person got baptized and prayed in the tongue, except for Seymour, until the almost last days. He was one of the last one to get baptized. And when that happened, the people were stirred up and the word was going around. They were gathering. They could not contain all the people coming to these Ashbury house. And they had to find a different place. And they found the Azusa warehouse on the Azusa Street. That's where they moved. And at the beginning, they thought it was various kinds of tongue, as in they thought it was the actual language that they could bring it to revivals. So a lot of people, they got baptized, they prayed in the tongue. They assumed that they had the gift to pray the foreign literal language tongue for about a year, I think, maybe longer, shorter. And they were all being sent to missionaries, mission fields. And they quickly realized that was not the case. They quickly realized it was a personal gift of tongue. And one of the main thing that this brought was the praying in the tongue. Everybody got praying the tongue. They were all praying the tongue. Okay, let's move to, that was 1906, right? So it happened around April of 1906. So next person is Canada. Some of you go like, that's the U.S. Come on, young, that's the U.S. America always has the goods. We're like second youngest brother who always gets the hand-me-down, right? Not true this time, not true. Okay, let's go to the next one. God used woman this time. Instead of black men, he used woman in Toronto, a woman who came from British Isles. She was with her husband, missionary at Jamaica. They could not handle the hot, steaming weather. So they found Toronto to be their resting place. But they were also a byproduct of the holiness movement. And they were also running, their disciple to run a healing rooms, even in UK. And they wanted to continue that. And Ellen Hebden was seeking for more because she started to operate like healing room kind of place, which is the East End Mission, that building right there. And she was praying for more. She wanted to see more people being healed. She wanted more move of God because she was frustrated to see very little result. So I'm going to read from her actual letter. She sent out a letter in 1907, but this event happened in November 17. You're going to hear from her own word. On Saturday, November 17, my husband has been fasting and prayer. This is literally what I'm reading, okay? That very night, the last two tenants move out of the building. Remember I said they want an entire building to be dedicated as healing room, right? And the peace of God filled the place. That same day, done quite a lot of visiting in connection with the mission, and being very tired, I retired at 10:10 p.m. Only a short time elapsed when the Spirit of God prompted me to rise and pray. which I immediately did. For some months, I had been seeking earnestly for more power to heal the sick. And with this desire still in my heart, I began to pray. Suddenly, the Holy Ghost fell upon me and I exclaimed aloud, "Oh, Jesus," this is old time, right? "Thou art a real living person. Thou art lovely beyond description." My whole being seemed to be filled with praise and adoration such as I had never realized before. The mighty power of God took possession of my hands, clasped them tightly together, and then moved them with such rapidity that it seemed as if they were severed from my arms. I was praising Jesus all the time, and yet it did not appear to be me, but the power within that was praising him. Then God began to speak to me. First, he said, "These are your hands, no more." I exclaimed, "Oh, thank you, Jesus." Again, my hands were raised by the power of God and pressed tightly into my right cheek. And they were moved to the left cheek and began pressed very hard. I say to the Lord, "What does this mean?" And very quietly, yet distinct voice said, "Tongues." I said, "No, Lord, no, Lord, not tongues." Then followed a moment of death-like silence when the voice again uttered the word, "Tongues." This time I felt afraid and grieved by the Lord. I said, "Tongues, or anything that will please thee and bring glory to thy name." One unknown word was repeated several times, and I thought that must be tongues. Suddenly a charge came over me, and I felt as if I were gently rising, although I remained kneeling on the floor. And the Spirit said, "I will show you things to come." Just then, a little fear crept into my heart, and I said, "Lord, let my husband come." I tried to speak to my husband, but failed. And I found that God wanted me to go through alone. Presently, the power of God seemed to be lifted from me, and I returned to rest. I woke in the morning full of joy and gladness, knowing that I had received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And very eagerly, I told my husband, wonderful experience. And great revival broke out. How many of you know this denomination called PAOC, Pentecostal Assemblies of Canada? Yeah, loosely it was associated with that. The movement happened. So many people came to this Toronto place, and we had a great, great revival. Some of you know Billy Graham. This is not recorded, but this is friend to friend and friend conversation. Some of you know this. He had a ministry. He desired to evangelize, and he had very little fruit. And when he was starting, and he was frustrated, and he was seeking God, and he was praying alone for more of the Lord, he also received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, praying the tongue. And the rest is history. There are many people throughout the history that seek for more, and they have received without understanding, without wanting it sometimes. They just wanted more of God, and they all receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I want to share a little bit of my story between my wife and I. Some of you know this. Through 9/11, high tech crashed, and I lost my job when the market crashed. I used to work for high tech, and the bubble bursted. And I quickly found myself among many other high-tech workers without job, running through my severance very quickly. And about a year or two later, that I was going nowhere. And at this point, I was desperately seeking for an answer. But I left Bible school at this time. I just came back because my wife asked me to come back if I marry her. I said yes. One of the main reasons I left Bible school because I hated people who spoke in tongues. I persecuted them. I argued with them. I theologically battled with them. I rebuked them. I called them of the demon. And my heart began to drift away. And I began to resent. I that I had to become a leader and a pastor. And I seek God. God, if you don't want me to stay, let me go. And he let me go. Because he had to let me go. Imagine that I became a leader in the body of Christ with bitterness towards the Lord. And at the time, I didn't know it was God. I was sincere in my heart, hating whatever was happening. So coming back to that point where I got laid off, and I was desperately seeking, and I had this guy coming from U.S., a director of the healing room, called, his name was Pastor Richard McElvain. He's our spiritual parents right now. And he came in, and you know, he was doing conference. So for no reason, I wanted to prepare lunch for the entire team, and I did. And after that, he prophesied over us. And I received some prophecies before, but this time was different. It was liquid love of God that began to stir up hunger and thirst for more of God. Because I was desperate this time. I was willing to accept anything that is of the Lord. And I rededicated my life back to God. I said, Lord, I'm all in. This time is different. I know exactly who you are. I know exactly who I am. So I'm going to surrender my life fully, and I'm going to make you my Lord. That happened. And that happened near the end of the conference. But I knew that was not enough because I've been there before. I've been there before trying to be a good Christian boy, try to do well, but I knew it was never enough. So I began to ask for more. And one day we got invited to this home church. And one of the leaders named Catherine Oh, she was an Asian. She was not Christian. She married a Christian guy, but she was a leader there. And she saw the vision of the Lord asking, the Lord was asking her to baptize both son and I. And they surrounded us. They put a circle around us, circle of people. They lay their hands and begin to pray. And Sonny broke out right away in tongues. And I could not, but I wept. And I started repenting of all the things that I did against God. I started weeping. I started crying. And all the things that I was against God, including the social and sexual, all these things, it was lifted off of me. Sunny, at the time, she wanted it because she wanted resolution out of our poverty situation. And she knew she wanted more of that. She knew that current standing could not, we could not be delivered from that. And I obviously shared, I wanted more to walk in the fullness of the Lord. And it took me about 2 months for me to pray every day, worshiping with Sunny, asking her, what's happening? How come I can't really pray in the tongue? Even though I felt strong stirring in my stomach was hurting whenever spirit was moving. And it took me 2 months. And the last one, after repenting of all the persecution that I've done, last one was, I thought Holy Spirit had to flap my gum, move my tongue, like a robot, like a puppet. But I realized, no, I have to step out in faith, initiate, then he takes over. Amen. So, two more. My kids. My daughter was in grade school. She was being bullied severely all the way through JK. We even moved to a different school when she was in JK, and we didn't put her in school SK. We put her in school grade one. And persecution and bullying, because she had a different value, different set of understanding, and she was being bullied. And during her recess, I think she was either grade 4 or 3 in the elementary, she was crying out to God. Guess what happened? She got baptized in the Holy Spirit, praying in the tongue without anybody laying hands. We didn't even talk about that. She was surrounded by that environment. And without the tongues, she could not have overcome all these different things in her life. She was going through the puberty, all these challenges, all these brokenness, all these tough things. Every single time she had a breakthrough, we were always praying the tongues together. My son, he was also in grade school. We were going to Woodvale at the time because we didn't know which church that we should settle. Woodvale is always our floating kind of big church. You're invisible, right? We were there. And Sunday, just like this, Pentecost Sunday, he wanted to go up by himself, wanted to receive the baptism and pray in the tongue. Guess what? He did. Amen. It is the simple belief of receiving. It's not complicated. No, I know few people. I don't know a lot of people. I know few people. They're scientists or they're professors. They receive Jesus through various research of years and they intellectually receive Christ, but they're always stumped at the tongues because they only analyze with their mind when they go through the scripture. They don't discern it by the heart. Like I said, just like the simple gospel, we can find out more after we receive the tongues, not before. The message of Jesus and the apostles were very simple. Receive the gift. Be baptized in the Holy Spirit. And that should be good enough at the beginning. As we know more, we get all the different things. But knowing way too much, just like salvation, is always a stumbling block for this. Again, two things, salvation and being baptized in the Holy Spirit. Those two things, you need simple understanding. Everything else, it's good to know more, but those two things. So what is the benefit? Young, why are you so amped up about this? You have no idea how many people, amen, you have no idea how many people received the baptism. There's a lady that was been seeking for 60 years. 60 years, she's go to Prayer Mountain, this and that. In her 80s, she got baptized in the Holy Spirit in our house church. There's so many people, almost every single one of them, all got baptized, no exception. No exception. But it was not lengthy preaching. It was not breaking down of different things. It was simply believing, it is so good for me. It is so, so good for me. I need this. I want this gift. Praise God. So, now I lay down some crumbs there. Why? Why do we speak? Because we pray directly to God according to 1 Corinthians chapter 14, 2. Zero hindrance. We pray directly to God with no hindrance. I know that some doctrine said, well, your prayer is not heard by God. But in the tongues, regard, I don't want to debate that doctrine, but regardless of the Bible says, pray directly to God. Just straight. Second, it edifies and builds oneself. Your spiritual strength, all these power, you're being recharged. It's like a battery. Your battery in you, it's like a building infrastructure, spiritual infrastructure in you is being charged up. Third, it says it builds the most holy faith. It builds God faith in you. Every time you pray, you know why? Because you have no idea what you're praying. Personal prayer in the tongue, you have no idea what you're praying every single time, period. So it requires you to believe that you're praying the perfect prayer straight to God by the utterance of the Holy Spirit that is in you, directly to Him. Every time you pray, you believe that. That's why you're being edified, you're being built up. And the last one is, there's more, but last one is pray for oneself as well as intercede for the others when we do not know what is going on or how to pray. So many things that is unknown. What about your family somewhere else? What about all this situation? You have no idea what the details. And we can simply trust the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, help me to pray about this. Help me pray to pray about that. This is amazing. And we know that God is not a respecter of the person. Why would He give this incredible personal gift to just few so they can enjoy this incredible connection with God? And some, they don't. Why do God give Jesus Christ to some people and some people are not saved? That's exactly the same way of thinking. Holy Spirit is given to all of us and we simply believe that is a gift. I know they're variable. Some people have a stronghold like I did. You know, they may need some people to lay hands on them and they pray, or they may need a people who pray in the tongue to circle around them and pray. We've done that many times. Every single time there's a breakthrough. There was a time that we prayed for 2 hours and the person finally prayed in the tongue and that person wept for 3-4 hours on the ground, crying and repenting to God. Almost every single person that we saw being baptized from our house church, it wasn't casual, like, I pray in the tongue, then move on. No, every single one of them, they saw the vision, they were weeping, they were crying, they were broken for hours, continued to pray. It wasn't just a few minutes and move on forward. No, it's incredible, tangible experience. So as I said, who can receive this gift? Every single born-again believer. Every single one of us. Every single one of us. Period. So how do you receive it? It's very simple. Just believe. Believe in the Word of God. Just like Brother Chuck or Pastor Chuck said, what do I do? How do I do work for God? And he said, your work is to simply believe Jesus. He's same yesterday and today and forever. There's nothing of the one iota in the scripture that says it passed away. There's nothing, a single word in the New Testament says it's not for you. It is for every single believer. Simple faith. Number two, take action. What you believe, well, you did not just internalize it when we receive Jesus. We confess. So every time we receive something, we act it out. We confess. Let me say this. We are not less of a Christian if we don't pray in the tongue. We're same no matter what. We start from the same thing. But praying the tongue adds so much to your life. It just adds so much to your life. I want to encourage you, if you were like me, who doubted, who didn't want it, who think God doesn't want me to have it, all that, just simplify it. Just simplify. Don't overcomplicate. Don't try to do all these mental gymnastics. Just simply believe that you can receive it. One of the greatest hurdles that I've seen so many people that they had to repent at the beginning before receiving it, was fear of rejection. What if I step out and I want it from God and I don't have it? That is one of the primary things. Fear of rejection. Or different doctrinal thing, telling them it's not for everybody. So they had to overcome. I had to overcome every single doctrinal fear, all the different things. I've done everything before I received. So I had to go through 2 months of that. You may not be as worse or bad as me. I was terrible. I was arguing with everybody. I tried to destroy their faith with scripture and all that. I was really bad. And I'm grateful that he forgave me. So, amen. So just like salvation, some people say, well, I'll receive Jesus maybe next year when I sort out all these, you know, different things that I don't do. Nobody should do that, right? We know that when you hear the gospel, what do? You want to receive it now. Same thing with baptism. Now. So I want us to go through this exercise. I know many of us in this house currently pray in the tongue. So I want us to close our eyes. And instead of, we all going to pray, those who pray in the tongue, we're going to pray. Instead of rejecting, because I was really scared before I received it. I knew that I wanted it, but I was so, so scared. It, for me personally, it felt like I was going across the chasm of the unknown. I felt like, oh my goodness, am I getting into the cultish experience? Am I getting into all these weird stuff? But inner witness keeps saying, you need this, young. So I want to encourage you, keep your eyes closed. All of the elders, we believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We also believe that speaking in the tongue is of the Lord, so don't be afraid. Keep your eyes closed. Pay attention to the spiritual atmosphere of this house. And begin to thank Him for sending Holy Spirit. Begin to thank Him. And did you know that if you begin to believe and you something stirs in you and the word or two comes out, let it all come out. Don't worry whether it's not your word or not. Some of you know this, autocorrect. I've seen so many cases, people may utter something that is not of the Lord at the beginning, but they sense something, they continue to let the Spirit pour out of them, and it begins to give them autocorrect. Holy Spirit will take over. We do that all the time. Those who already pray in the tongue, they always step out at the beginning with whatever we sense that is, and the Holy Spirit takes over. So let's close all our eyes, open our hearts, And I plead the blood of Jesus right now. I plead the blood of Jesus over sanctuary right now. Father, I pray for your presence. Father, we declare by faith, none of us will receive the wrong spirit. None of us will operate in the wrong spirit. We all operate under the leading and the unction of the Holy Spirit as we pray in the tongue. And those who will step out today, they will also receive the right spirit. We declare that in Jesus' name. So let us begin to pray in the tongue. And those of you who have yet to receive it, I want you to begin to focus on the Spirit of the Lord. And let whatever comes out, let it come out. Fill us up, Holy Spirit. Fill us up with your Spirit. Continue to fill us up in Jesus' name. Fill us up with your boldness. Fill us up with your compassion. Fill us up with your love. Fill us up with your joy and a peace. If you feel anger, if you feel any emotion that is angry or resisting really strong, I want you to let go and let God. Father, forgive us. Father, some of us have resisted you because it makes zero sense intellectually. It makes zero sense in any capacity. Father, our intellect, our faculty, all the things that we have learned through the world, we reject that. Father, you have restored. In the Tower of Babylon, you scatter us when we're united under one language. But in the book of Pentecost, in the book of Acts, you have united us under one spirit, the language of the Spirit. Now we are united. Father, we declare as we continue to pray in our private time, in you, with you, through you, Father, in the prayer of the Holy Spirit, Father, we know that our hearts will be knitted to you, and you're the one that uniting the body of Christ. Father, we declare as we continue to pray in the tongue, our heart will be knitted to you, and we will be united with you. There will be unity as a byproduct with the body of Christ, because we're all serving one Lord, one baptism, one Spirit, in Jesus' name. Continue to pray a little more. I want to encourage you, continue to pray a little more. More Lord, break that stronghold. Father, break that stronghold right now in Jesus' name. This is what we need, Lord. We need this more than ever. We need this more than ever against the lie and the deception of the enemy, against the depression and the oppression of the enemy, against all the confusion of the enemy. Father, we need the Holy Spirit. We need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. The world do not need another religion. World do not need another culture. World needs God. The kingdom of God and His culture is the ultimate kingdom. It's the ultimate culture. The Spirit of the Lord in Jesus' name. So we step out. Don't worry. He will take over. Don't worry. Do not fear. Do not be concerned or afraid. Just let it all come out. Father, we baptize every single one of us in this house. Father, we ask that your Spirit may fall in this place. Father, we ask that your Spirit fall in this place. Father, we ask for the baptism of the Holy Spirit, those who haven't yet to be baptized, right now in the name of Jesus. Right now in the name of Jesus. Do not let fear hold you back. Do not let fear hold you back. Open your mouth. Let the word come out in Jesus' name. He will auto-correct and allow His Spirit to take over. It requires one step of faith. One step of faith, and He will begin to take over in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus. Do not be concerned. If you wanted it right now, you couldn't break out. We have elders and the leaders here. We'll pray with you. We'll lay our hands on you. Don't forget, it requires the the desire to receive. Desire to receive, that is it. As we desire to receive Jesus Christ as our Lord Savior, same thing. It requires only that. Only that. Amen. So one more time, if you are unable to, but you wanted it, we have elders and leaders will pray for you in private. Because I know some people, they need a little more privacy. So we'll honor that. Amen? Amen.
Yeah, I just want to say two things. One is the founder of this church, Ken Hall, who a number of you know, when he first heard tongues being spoken out loud, he said it boggled his intellect, but not his spirit. His spirit was okay with it. You know, it was his intellect he couldn't get past, at least not immediately. When I first, as a young man, as a teenager, began to experience the Holy Spirit, you know, felt the Holy Spirit, felt his presence, but didn't quite know what was going on, you know. And I remember being prayed for the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and didn't receive, at that time, didn't receive the gift of tongues. But then I remember lying in bed at night, every night. My heart was so hungry for Jesus, I forgot. I just wanted more. And I would lie in bed every night. And I would just cry out to him. I just want everything you have for me. Everything you have for me. It's in the Bible. You know, then, you know, it was only after that I began to read the Bible. You know, you read in 1 Corinthians 12 and you read all these scriptures. And you learn about the gifts of the Spirit and the things that God wants to give us. He is a gift giver. A generous gift giver. So, I don't know how to conclude. Would you stand? Everybody stand together. Young, pray over us, and then we'll leave the front open.
Yeah, we'll leave it open if you want to come up, and if you want ministry, if you want somebody to pray for you, we'll do that. But let's, Holy Spirit, we are so, so glad. Everybody have different understanding or baggage that we came here, but it is you that continue to release us from all these burdens, all these yokes. We are so grateful, Holy Spirit. We are so, so grateful. Holy Spirit, continue to fill us throughout the week. Continue to fill us with your love. Continue to fill us with compassion and joy and a peace. Father, we thank you. Father, we thank you. We bless you. In Jesus' name.